Father, in our time and in our ways as human beings, today is a Memorial Day. And though a few of us may have been affected by the loss of someone serving in the armed services somewhere overseas, maybe even here on land in America, Lord, we pray for your spirit to just comfort those who have had loss. And even up to this day, Lord, as our service people are still in harm's way and are still experiencing loss, and families are experiencing loss, we are so grateful, Lord God, that right here where we reside, there isn't that kind of havoc. Bombs going off and bullets flying through the air to whatever targets. The conflict is in another land, and it seems so distant to us sometimes, and yet, Lord God, it comes very near when it affects those we know and love. So send your spirit of comfort to those who have had loss. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, getting back on the Acts merry-go-round here. We're going to finish up chapter 14 today. And Paul and Barnabas and Luke are traveling around on the first missionary journey, which, by the way, when they get to the completion of it at the end of this chapter, they will have actually traveled 700 miles over land and 500 miles by sea. You think these people were dedicated to what they were doing? They definitely were, especially when all sorts of opposition would come to them. They would go to those who would know about God, the one true God, because all of Israel had known about the one true God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord he is one. Worship the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And teach this to your children when they arise and when they sleep at night. When you walk along the way, talk about it. Put it upon your foreheads. Tie it upon your wrists to remind you of how great our God is. These are the kinds of people that Paul and Barnabas would first go and try to bring the good news that Jesus Christ, their Messiah, their Savior, has finally come into the world. And we now have a living hope because he was not just crucified and put into a grave. He has risen. He is risen indeed. And he sits at the right hand of God, paid the full price for all of our sins. And what do we have to do? What's our responsibility? To simply comply by belief in who Jesus claimed to be, the Son of God. The one who died so that I could be forgiven. The one who gives me an invitation to eternal life if I would just proclaim Jesus Christ, Lord, and believe it in my heart. I will be saved. This is a message that burned within Paul and Barnabas. And Luke just kind of tallied along, just keeping notes of all that was going on. And you see that they've gone to Antioch and now into Iconium and then into Lystra and Derbe. And these are no small trails that they're blazing. These are many miles in between these cities, and there's plenty of time to get bushwhacked or have harm come to them. But instead, the harm does not come to them on the road. The harm comes to them by believers in God. All along the way, they have Jews who know the one true God following after them. traveling first the 90 miles from Antioch to Iconium, and then another 60 miles into Lystra. So this is not just a one-day journey. And these people all have the title of today's message, tenacity. Tenacity. Tenacity is a quality that once you grab onto the truth of something, you will never let it go, no matter who throws a rock in on your party. You will hold on to that truth because you know that truth, and that truth has set you free from the bondages of this world. They have tenacity, but you will see that there is both good tenacity and there's bad tenacity. There are those who have a tenacity to bring harm to Paul and this message that he is bringing to others. And there's good tenacity within Paul and Barnabas and Luke as they travel around wanting for none to perish but all to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They indeed have surrendered. They've surrendered everything that they knew and had ever experienced before to go on this great journey for God and to go where His Spirit would lead them to go and to do what His Spirit would tell them to do. So let's read our passage from Acts chapter 14, verses 19 to 28. It's inside your bulletin, or it may even appear up on the wall. I don't know. But here we go. Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the multitudes in Lystra, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he arose and re-entered Lystra. And the next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. And after they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium, and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And they passed through Pisidia and came into Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from there they sailed to Antioch of Syria, from which they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them, and how He had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they spent a long time with the disciples. Yeah. Lots of places that they've been to, right? Now, bad tenacity. Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the multitudes in Lystra, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Now, if you remember, because we just covered this last week, and if not, you have a Bible and you can go back over this story and see what's happening. Paul and Barnabas had just come into Lystra, and they start preaching Jesus Christ. And Paul looks over at this man who's been crippled since birth. His feet, something wrong with them. And somehow, Paul picks up within his spirit that this man has the faith to believe in Jesus Christ and that he could be healed. And so Paul goes over and he speaks to this man. He goes, be healed in the name of Jesus. And the man is healed immediately. His crippled feet that have been crippled since birth. And this is a man in his 40s. He is now all of a sudden restored to health. What would that do to your mind? right? Wouldn't it blow your mind to just have someone that you knew crippled from birth, just all of a sudden through the words of Paul and through the power of Jesus, to have them healed, to have them made whole? I mean, this man got up and was walking around and running around and testing out these new feet, these new healthy feet that he's just got. Kind of like our brother Eddie, who just got a new set of teeth, except the bottom ones are just giving him fits, and so he doesn't have those today, but give us a little smile. All right, yeah, woohoo! We rejoice in these things. And the people there were rejoicing in Lystra. In fact, they were rejoicing so much, they thought that Paul and Barnabas were a couple of gods. Zeus and Hermes. Zeus was Barnabas because he was such a lover. And Paul was Hermes because he was the mouthpiece. And they were ready to sacrifice animals and to worship these guys, and they went, whoa, 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 do not worship us, but worship our God that we represent. And so they put a panache to all that. They stopped the celebrations and the festivities. You see, because these were Roman colonized cities, they knew about all sorts of gods, and what did they do for those gods? Well, they constantly sacrificed animals. Even children at times. I could have donated one or two there. No. Sorry. Just teasing. Just playing. But see how the crowd just turns? The same thing happened when Jesus entered Jerusalem. Oh, he entered Jerusalem on the back of a colt next to its mother. And the people were putting down palm branches and their cloaks. And what were they saying? What were they saying? Come on, church people. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. They were worshiping Jesus. They were celebrating him, just as they were celebrating Paul and Barnabas. These same people who wanted to sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas are now all of a sudden turned by the Jews that came from Antioch and Iconium. How often do we get turned around because of the beliefs of the people around us rather than holding to the truth that we know? How often? Well, our newspapers would like to tell us certain things. The news on television would like to tell us certain truths. People would like to sit down and discuss their viewpoints and try to argue you into their way of thinking. And that's what these Jews were able to do. They were able to come to these people in Lystra who had just witnessed a mighty miracle of a crippled man's feet being made well. How they were able to twist that over and go, these guys need to be stoned. And notice in this story, it's not Barnabas or Luke that get stoned. It's only Paul, the mouthpiece. You who are without sin, cast the first one. That was supposed to be a joke. You guys are supposed to laugh at that point. I wasn't supposed to be ducking rocks, you know, because I know all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I'm glad I'm in really good company. But they stoned Paul, and being under Roman leadership and under Roman laws, they realized as a people, well, we can't have a dead man in our city. And so they dragged him out of the city. They dragged Paul out of the city and they put him out there and they suppose him to be dead. But those that Paul had reached, with the message. Disciples, because these aren't just people that have heard. These are people who have heard and are now following after the teachings that Paul and Barnabas have been bringing to the people. Disciples are followers of the teachings of Christ. Are you a disciple today? Because that's what Christ is looking for. He's not looking for people to just, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. Oh boy, I got fire insurance. Woohoo! Not going to hell. Yay, because I believe in Jesus. He wants disciples. He wants followers after his teachings. Which means, as Paul said, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Because the world is not going to understand us. Because the world doesn't want to understand us. Because if they truly get us, if they truly acknowledge what we have come to know and what we have acknowledged, then they've got to do something about their life. Because they realize that they're still in their sins and they haven't asked God to forgive them yet. Are you a disciple? Are you a follower? Are you still a learner of who Christ is? Because that's what, as a people, we're supposed to be. Christ asked for that to happen. He said, all power and authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go and make disciples. Don't just make converts. Because, you see, the Jews converted these people in Lystra. Oh, they were listening to the truth of what Paul was bringing and what Barnabas was teaching. But all of a sudden, those fresh converts got flipped over. Even though they saw the miracles of God, these people did an atrocious thing. They killed another man. All because of what? Because he preached Jesus Christ. And we too, as long as we stand on the truth about Jesus Christ, we will go through many tribulations in this world. In fact, this world is starting to line up as to who you're going to follow. It's happening, people. The lines are getting drawn, and you are either walking with Jesus or you're not. And either you are so excited about Jesus and the freedom that he brings you that you are telling others about it, or you're a stuff. You're like a stuffed olive. You're just stuffed with a pimento. You're not letting out the love of Jesus, the forgiveness of Jesus that you yourself have received. You're not letting out the knowledge about Jesus because you haven't studied anything. People, we're to be followers, studiers of who Jesus Christ is, and then imitate his life. As the disciples stood around him, what happened? He got up. He arose. And he goes back into Lystra. Why? Why? Because when you face adversity and adversity thinks that it's knocked you down and it thinks that it's had you for lunch, you get up and you go back into the face of adversity and you say, I ain't done with you yet. You might have won round one, but my Jesus has already won the fight. And you're going to continue to listen about my Jesus. He went back to Lystra, not just to get bandaged up, but to prove to them another miracle. Though they supposed him dead, he's alive. And he's alive in the power of Jesus. And he's not afraid to go back and proclaim it to Lystra and the people that are there. He wants to show them, look, This is the way to live your life, no matter what the world says about you, no matter what kind of rocks they want to throw at you and opposition they want to put in your life. Walk straight according to what Jesus tells you and nothing else. Just three amens out of that, really? Wow. I've got to preach harder. He arose, he re-entered Lystra. And the next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. Both those sentences just blow my mind. You ever been hit by a rock? I mean, we're talking rocks that would fill your hand. Because these people weren't just throwing little pebbles at him and doing it nicely. They were throwing rocks at Paul to kill him. To kill him. And to the point where they actually dragged him outside the city. Well, maybe he just got roughed up outside our city. We'll make up some kind of story there. I mean, after all, the Jews can help us with, you know, those kinds of stories. They've already come and told us lies that he's upset their religion. That God would actually want to have a relationship with us through his son, Jesus Christ. Come on. All of our Jewish regulations, all of our laws, he's just throwing them to the side. And he's just telling people, what? Just to love the Lord your God with all your hearts? Oh, he stole that from us. That's what he told us as Jews. We were Jews. We were God's people. Precious to him. We're set aside for him. And our God is precious to us. So much so that we're blind to the Messiah that he sent us. We're so caught up in our religion that we forgot that God is a God of relationship. Same things can happen to us today. We can be so caught up in our religions, traditions, that we forget that God is just a God who wants relationship with us. He wants to walk and talk with you as he walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the garden. It's the same relationship that he wants. He desires it. And he made a way for that by giving his own son to you and I, that we might be in that right relationship with him, if we would but just believe. The fact that Paul would even be ready to go on another journey, because Derbe is not just a small chance down the road. It's another 40 miles down the road. And he gets up the very next day and goes away with Barnabas and obviously Luke, and they go to Derbe. Now, what kind of an impact have they made in Lystra? Any? Some? There are some disciples there. There are some who are actually following after the way of Christ. And in fact, these very same people, Paul ends up so in love with these people that he writes them a letter. It's called Galatians. The book of Galatians is a letter to the people in Antioch, Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. All these cities. On his first journey, Paul wrote the book of Galatians, instructing them that as you first started out in your faith in Jesus Christ, who has hoodwinked you? Why are you going back to the laws as if salvation was going to come by the laws? The laws don't have anything to do with salvation. They have everything to do to point out what's wrong with you. Jesus came to bring salvation. He came to bring grace and mercy from God, that you and I would walk in the love of God rather than in condemnation, because that's all the law can bring on you is condemnation, right? That's why Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for who? For those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, if you're in Jesus, which means you completely believe that he died for everything that you have ever done wrong in your life, and that you have been brought into a perfect relationship with God now, a perfect relationship with God now, not just in the future, but now. You can walk in that perfect relationship when? Yeah. Now. Now. But not in your strength, but in the strength of what? Of the Spirit who lives in you. It's a call to Spirit living. That's what the whole book of Acts is about. It's about us walking in the power of God's Spirit rather than walking in the power of our flesh. And too many of us are stumbling and falling over the strength of our flesh rather than following the strength of God's Spirit within us. No amens on that one, huh? Yeah. That one hit too close to home? Am I in your grill or what? You know? Pastor, back off. You're in my business. Folks, we've got to walk in the power of God's Spirit that lives within us. He lives within each person that has declared Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, the Savior who died for their sins, their Messiah. The Holy Spirit is a gift that's given to you from God. You've got to accept it. And then you need to walk in the power of the Spirit. And how do we, the rest of us, know that you're walking in the power of the Spirit? Well, you will exude the gifts of the presence of God's Spirit living in you. Love, joy. See, Paul wrote about all these things in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Because he wanted to point those people in all these cities that we've been talking about. He wanted to point them back to the fact that they were supposed to live as spiritual beings going through an earthly existence. God wants us to live in the power of his Spirit within us that can make us more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen? So, they go to Lystra, they go to Derbe, they preach the news. And then the thing that just, again, blows my mind is that they turn around from Derbe. Derbe is like the last pylon that they turn. And they come back to Lystra, to Iconium, to Antioch, and then a couple of towns that they passed. On their way to Antioch, they stopped in Pisidia first, and then to Pamphylia next, and then they go down to Perga, and then from there to Attalia. You see, Attalia was the seaport that they would have sailed into from Paphos, from the island of Crete, of Cyprus, excuse me. Of Cyprus. They would have flown in. They didn't have planes back then, Don. The Wright brothers had not yet been born. They sailed into Attalia. From there, Perga was 12 miles inland. And they got their supplies all ready for their journey of 90 miles into Iconium. And they just passed by Pamphylia and they passed by Pisidia. And the reason that I had given you with what Bible scholars had found is that they probably had a letter from the governor in Paphos, on Cyprus, because he had family in Antioch. And he wanted them to immediately go there and save his family. And so when you got a letter of favor, man, you pass everybody else by and you go there as an assignment. And then he goes inland. 700 miles altogether these guys cover on foot. And we're afraid to just go across the street to our neighbor. Pastor, are you getting in my business again? You talk to your neighbor about the Lord yet? They're right there, right next to you. You're obviously an influence with them because you're all in the same neighborhood. You try to keep your places all up nicely so that everybody's acceptable, right? What's wrong with some cookies and a little coffee? A little talk, just finding out about your neighbors. Tell them about the greatest gift that you've got, which is Jesus. He goes back to these towns where he's had opposition. And he picks up little jewels along the way. And one of the jewels that he picks up in Lystra is a young man who had learned about faith from his grandmother, Louise, and his aunt, Eunice. Or his mother, excuse me, his mother, Eunice. And this young man's name is Timothy. Young Timothy. Timothy becomes Paul's protege. He becomes his mentee. Paul becomes a mentor to Timothy. And in fact, he ends up writing, Timothy is so precious to him that he writes two books, especially to his namesake, Timothy. I want you to be strong in what you have learned from me. Imitate me. He not only goes through these towns, but he lets them know, you know what? As disciples, as followers of Jesus Christ, you are going to go through many tribulations. But we will enter the kingdom of God together. Amen? See, guys, we got to have our eyes on the prize. If I've got to suffer tribulations, if I've got to suffer rejection from people, I've got to have my eyes on a greater prize, right? Why else would I be going through this? Where else do I get the tenacity in my life to live the truth that I have been given from God? I keep my eyes on the prize, and so must you. They not only go back to these towns, but they appoint elders for them in what? Every church, with prayer and with fasting, they appoint elders over those churches. You see, this isn't just some flippant thing that they go back and do. They stay there, back in those cities, in those towns for a little while, and they set up elders, people that are steeped in the way of Jesus and will teach others about him. They appoint elders over the church after they pray and fast. Commend them to the Lord in whom they believed, and then they return. And when they return, they go all the way back to Antioch of Syria, henceforth from where they began their journey. Because now the church has moved from Jerusalem to Antioch. Antioch becomes the place where believers are sent out throughout all the world. Yes, they were first dispersed from Jerusalem, and that's how these outposts like Antioch were established. But Antioch ends up becoming the place where the disciples are sent out through all the world. And Paul and Barnabas, they go back for a time of refreshment, a sabbatical, if you will. They have spent 2 to 3 years already out in the field preaching Jesus Christ, traveling 700 miles on land, 5 on sea. And they come back with this wonderful news. We have set up churches in all this area. We have believers out there. The message of Jesus Christ is going out just as Jesus proclaimed it would. First in Jerusalem, and then to the rest of the world. And we have taken it there. Where are you taking the gospel of Jesus Christ? Where is your tenacity in sharing? Because it's the greatest gift all of us have received. Amen? Amen. Loving Heavenly Father, put within the bosom of each and every one of us, Lord God, that desire to share that which we know. The problem is we know too much about this world and we don't know enough about you, Jesus. So put a hunger and a thirst within us to know you, Jesus, to study your word, and then to turn around and imitate who you were and what your values are. Lord, cover these people. Bless them with the power of your Spirit living within each one. And may they exude all the gifts of your Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. May we be a people known as we are known in the community already for being a praying church. Hence the request that came forth on the phone. But Lord, help us to be known also as a people filled with the power of your Spirit, doing great things for your kingdom, bringing great glory to your name, Jesus. May we represent you well, each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.